All right, time for week three. As we continue our journey through the Holy Mass in this four-week homily series, we're going to do a very brief bit of review, as you can kind of maybe understand my methodology at this point. Recall how, as we're going through this four-week series on the Mass, my intention has been not so much to speak about the Mass in all of its sort of minute details so that we kind of get lost in what's going on. My intent from the beginning has kind of been to give this very broad perspective, these broad brush strokes, these very basic sort of perspectives, lenses through which we can come to a deeper appreciation, a deeper understanding of what's going on. And through those explanations, we split the Mass up into four parts: the introductory rites, the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist, and the communion rite, as a way to go through the Mass each week. You'll recall 2 weeks ago that when we began, I said that we need to speak about the Mass. After I turn this on. As a mystery. Remember, that was our first word 2 weeks ago. That when we enter into the Mass, the first way that we experience Mass is as a divine mystery. And what did we say that was? Remember, we said that a divine mystery was a creation of God, a work of God for man, which imparts divine life in ways that are visible and invisible. And when we come into the sacrament of the Holy Mass, we come into a creation of God for man, which imparts his divine life in ways that are both visible and invisible. And this gave us a context to understand why it is we walk through the Mass in the introductory rites the way that we do, because we come before God's majesty, before the pinnacle of all creation, the pinnacle of all human history. When heaven comes down to earth and we're before the almighty sanctuary of God and we confess our unworthiness, and at the same time we confess his glory, his majesty, and we adore him. And then last week we moved on and we spoke last week. Our word last week was the word power. That when we enter into the Mass, we not only experience divine mystery, we also experience divine power, particularly the power of God's word. We spoke about the way in which the divine word has power in a way that human words do not have power. That the divine word has power to create, to redeem, and to glorify, right? When I said these are the three ways in which this power is expressed. That in the very beginning of all things, and God said, let there be light, and light came out of nothing. And God created all the universe out of nothing. And God's word is creative. When he says it, it happens. And that even as creation fell, the power of God's word didn't stop at a creative act. It also continued with a redeeming act, which God promised right through all of the prophets in the Old Testament, and which he completed in Jesus. And when Jesus came along and he spoke the word in power, he spoke that in a redemptive way, so that when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, it happened. We said, remember, that this was hugely problematic because only God could redeem. But Jesus was revealing himself as God, that his almighty word was powerful in this way, not only to create but to redeem. And we also spoke about the way in which the power of the word was not only a creative power, not only a redemptive power, but also a glorifying power. That all of the grace that we receive here in all of this isn't meant for happy-go-luckiness here, that we're just going to have a big grand party on earth, that all of this is oriented to something beyond this world. That the power of God's word is meant not merely to create in us, to redeem in us, but also to glorify in us. So that in heaven, as Jesus himself said in the scriptures, that if we follow his commandments and teach others to do the same, he will glorify us like stars that shine for all eternity in heaven. This is his promise, the promise of final glorification. And so we move on through the Mass, not only as we enter into it, experiencing the divine mystery, not only as we continue through it, experiencing the power of the Word of God, which comes to us in a unique way through Scriptures when we hear the voice of God itself, that Word has power to transform our souls, to change the reality in us, that those Scriptures are explained so that those seeds of grace may be planted in good soil, that we may be transformed and proclaim, right, that act of faith by which we say, I believe. Everything as you reveal yourself to me, God, has caused me to believe in you. And not only to believe in you, but to believe in that power to change me and to change the things around me. And so we continue in Mass through those intercessory prayers. And so now we come to the big turning point. We come to this sort of middle moment where after we have heard the power of the Word of God, after that Word has been opened to us in explanation through the preacher's sermon, after we proclaim our faith in God and give to Him our prayers of intercession, now we come to the liturgy of the Eucharist. And so this week we're speaking about that moment when the offertory begins until the end of the Eucharistic prayer when we pray the great Amen. So when we go through that part of Mass, what is it, what is one word that can be used to describe this part of our Sunday experience? That word this week, after mystery, after power, this week's word is sacrifice. You see, because when you and I experience, when we come to Holy Mass on Sundays, we not only enter into the mystery of the divine, we not only enter into the power of the divine, we also enter into the sacrifice of the divine. So I looked that word up. What does Webster have to say about this word, sacrifice? Here's what Webster says. Webster says that sacrifice is this. It is the destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. When we hear that word sacrifice, what does that word mean? The destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. So Mass being a sacrifice. You see, we understand this word very clearly. We know what this word sacrifice is all about. Sacrifice is all about an exchange. We surrender something, we get something in return. And the two things that are exchanged are things of worth or things of value. Every day, you and I know what this word means in our practical lives. When you go to the grocery store and you buy your groceries, you surrender something. And you get something in return. I give you this money, you give me these groceries. Exchange of two things of worth. Or when you and I, you know, our car breaks down and we have to get it towed, and we take it to the dealership, and we hand them goods, and they give us services. Here's something of value. You perform a work for me. Sacrifice is all about exchange. It is at root a transaction. It's a transaction between two parties. But you and I know that sacrifice, of course, is more than that. You know, we have sacrifice in a way that is sort of material, where sacrifice might be exchange of money, of goods, and of services that are of equal value, or we hope of equal value. But sacrifice doesn't end there, because sacrifice, you and I experience it also in our relationships with each other. So sacrifice can also be in immaterial things, not just material things. When you and I are in relationship with each other, there are certain things that we sacrifice, that we exchange in return for something else of value. Like, for example, you and I sacrifice our time. When we're in relationship with someone, we give away our time, we exchange that, we surrender that. We could be doing something else, and we decide that something else is less important than the sacrifice of my time for this person now. Or you and I might sacrifice our powers, our faculties, our skill sets, those things that we're good at, that other people aren't good at. And we say, when I'm in relationship with someone and I love them and the sink breaks, I know how to fix the sink. So I surrender something of value that is in me for the sake of the good order of the household and of the good relationship of my husband or wife, who says, fix that. So sacrifice can be also a transaction of immaterial things. And we know that to be true in our relationships. You know, we don't go up to, you know, I hope, you know, if you're a kid and or you were a kid at one point, you didn't go up to your mom and dad and say, here, mom and dad, here's some money. Do my laundry. Oh, man. If I ever said that to my mom, my butt would have been red. Sacrifice We know what sacrifice means in all of these kind of human terms. And when we come to Mass on Sundays, we also experience sacrifice, but not sacrifice in a human way, sacrifice in a divine way. Because God comes to you and he comes to me and he says, I want you to know that when you are here in my presence, I offer a sacrifice. But you see, when God offers a sacrifice, it's very different than the way that humans offer sacrifice, because we offer things. We even offer attributes or powers or faculties. We offer immaterial things like time and energy. But God, when God wants to sacrifice, God says, no, my sacrifice is not of things. It is not of powers. My sacrifice is a sacrifice of persons. A divine sacrifice is an exchange of persons. It's not an exchange of things. We have the Mass as a remedy for the context in which we live. Because God, who is perfect sacrifice himself, has revealed that to us in his very being. You know, God, we as Christians, we worship God as a trinity of persons. And how is it that we understand that that is true of God? That God is a trinity. Because in God is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect surrendering of one person for another, a perfect exchange of persons. God in all eternity says, I give all of myself to my Son. And God the Son, the Word, for all eternity says, I give all of myself to the Father. And that gift of self is so perfect that it is the Holy Spirit for all eternity. An eternal exchange of perfect persons, the perfect divine sacrifice. And this is why we say that sacrifice in the divine sense is covenantal. Divine sacrifice is a covenant. You see, in human terms, sacrifice is a contract of things of value that are of equal. Things for things, goods for goods, services for services. I give you this finite thing, you give me that finite thing. That's a contract, 50-50. But that's not divine sacrifice. Divine sacrifice is a covenant, which means it's not an exchange of things, it's an exchange of persons, things which are of infinite value, something of infinite value that can't be valued by something purely finite or material. You see, when God says, my holy Mass is a sacrifice, God says, my Mass is a sacrifice because it is an exchange of persons, because the Mass happens in the context of a broken world. And what did God lose when God created all things? And man lost himself in disobedience. God looked at that and God said, I didn't lose things. I didn't even lose powers. I lost persons. And how do you get a person back? You can't buy a person for things. You can't exchange things for persons. We've tried that. It doesn't work. It's not pretty. Still happens today. We exchange persons for things, for money, for dubious favors. That's a mockery. God says you cannot exchange persons for things. It is person for person. And God said, I have lost my people. And how do you get people back that you have lost? How do you make that transaction? You make an exchange of person for person. And this is divine sacrifice. In order for God to get us back, he said, I send not my power, not my things, my Son. The divine Son. When you and I come to Mass, we come to a sacrifice because there is an exchange of persons. This is fundamental. We have to see this. Because this explains what happens at this point in the Mass. When we enter into the liturgy of the Eucharist, we have come before the majesty of God's mystery to proclaim our unworthiness, to adore him in his mighty mercy, and we say, God, you have something to say to me. And so speak. And he speaks in his word, and that word does transform us. And as that word transforms us, we respond with an act of faith. We say, I believe, and here are all my intentions. And then we come to the crux of the matter, where we don't joke around anymore. And we say, what's most important is that I give myself. And so we offer to God, through the bread and the wine, through the offering of our treasures, even materially, those are symbols of what God wants most of all, which is us. God says, I don't want your money. I don't want you to do things for me. I want you. If you come to Mass and you give God anything less than yourself, God says, it's not enough. It's not enough. If you don't give me yourself in Mass, the divine exchange can't happen. The sacrifice can't happen in you. Because I don't want your things. I want you. That's not to say that all of those other things are not important. They are. The stewardship of our material resources, they are important because they are an expression of relationship. The gift of our time, the gift of our talent, the gift of our treasure, those things do matter, but they're secondary. Those things follow naturally as a consequence of something which is primary. Those are like dominoes down the line. This is the first domino, yourself. If you don't give this, this doesn't matter. Everything else is worthless to God. He doesn't need it. He needs you and me. He needs us to complete the sacrifice because Mass is an exchange of persons. That helps us to put in context what goes on here, especially as we enter into the liturgy of the Eucharist, because when we offer the bread and the wine, when we offer the symbol of our material possessions, those things are meant to be symbols of something much more real, which is our very souls. And what does God do with the total gift of self? God says, you give me yourself, I give you myself. You see, the offertory is our sacrifice to God, the sacrifice of everything that we are. And what does God do with all of our offertory? What does he do with that offering of self? God consecrates it. God consecrates our offerings and does the most sublime thing, wonderful thing possible. He joins it to himself and he makes it divine. God says, everything that you give me, I attach to me. I offer that to my Father so that it is nothing less than the divine. Jesus said this himself at the Last Supper. When God instituted this sacrifice, what were his words? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Think about it. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Are the branches of a substance that is anything different than the vine, or are they fundamentally part of the same whole? You don't grow an apple tree, and the apple tree trunk doesn't sprout a branch that then forms the fruit of an orange. From an apple tree trunk, you don't get oranges. You get apples because it's the same substance. The branches and the trunk are the same. When Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, Jesus says, I make you participate in my divinity, really. Because that is the sacrifice that is divine, the exchange of persons. So God says, all that you are, when you give yourself to me and you leave nothing back, I turn that into my body, my blood, my soul and divinity. And I give it back to you. Wow. And that's why the consecration of the Holy Eucharist ends with a doxology. Because the priest raises the sacrifice of man joined to the sacrifice of God, and God has made that sacrifice perfect so that we can be one back. And how do we respond? Amen. It's the last thing that we say at the end of that liturgy of the Eucharist. You know what that word means? Amen. It means let it be so. It means I believe. It means yes. It is true. We say amen to what God is doing in us. Because this is the power of divine sacrifice. That is so wonderful. Doesn't that help to put into context what's going on here? That which you and I walk into Mass every Sunday, we walk into divine mystery, we walk into divine power, we walk into divine sacrifice. so that before the majesty of God and our humility, we may be transformed by the power of his word, give all of ourselves back to him, and receive everything. Because that's who God is, everything. We get that back. And we have the privilege to walk into that on this day, in this moment now.